Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 26. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 26. This is the reading of God's word. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. You will bless your people who are hearing your word. Let our faith grow. Let us be sanctified more and more. Let us be free, more free from sin and Satan in this world. Rather, let us witness how we are completely free from that in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and your word will be understood by your people, that they will believe and they will obey. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're back to Matthew. We've been away from Matthew for a while. But now we came back. And we left it last time, verse 20. Now, let's begin verse 21. The kingdom of heaven has begun, and her king proclaims the gospel of that kingdom. As you have seen last time, the new age has come. New age has begun. The law and the prophets are fulfilled. The Old Testament has been fulfilled. Everything has been accomplished by this king who are proclaiming the gospel of his kingdom. The will of God has been revealed completely in Jesus Christ. The law of the Old Testament was not able to cleanse the hearts of sinners. The Old Testament law was about the outward rituals and ceremonies. And we have already looked at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. There we have concluded that Old Testament is God treating his people as a child, whereas the New Testament God is treating his people as an adult. I gave you example when we looked at that passage. When I raised my kid, when, you know, like, my kid was very little, I would punish him. Many times without explaining why. At that time, he just had to know that that was wrong. But now he's grown. More and more, I need to explain to him why. He needs to understand so that he will receive that with his heart. Unless you understand, unless you believe, you're not going to do that with your heart. So in the Old Testament, it was like that, like childhood. When you do something wrong, God will punish. Like you break the Sabbath, he will stone you to death. Well, the people who will see that, they will definitely obey that commandment. But see, only outwardly. Because of fear, they will obey because they see somebody dying. But that is not how God treats us anymore. He doesn't want that kind of only outwardly obedience because of fear, because of guilt. He wants you to obey with your heart. That's why in the Old Testament, God has promised this new age. God promised to give the new heart. God promised to write his law in his people's hearts. And with the coming of the kingdom and the king, all that has been accomplished. So now through the gospel, God moves our hearts. Now our obedience is from our heart. Even though we do not see anybody dying, anybody being stoned to death, we still obey because we love to. We want to. That new age has come. That's why in the New Testament, we need to preach the gospel. We need to tell the love of God that he has shown us through Jesus Christ, so that your heart will be moved, so that you may obey with your heart. But so many churchgoers are abusing God's grace. They think just because God does not stone somebody to death when they commit sin, now they think they could just live however they want. Misusing God's favor. Abusing God's grace. But understand what God wants. He wants your heart. Now our obedience is from our heart, not just outward acts. Our obedience is our expression of our love for him. It is to imitate Jesus, and it is to participate in his life. It is to witness the reality of heaven that he has accomplished for us. The new era, the new age has come. Verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In our passage, Jesus teaches that higher righteousness. Righteousness that surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the perfect righteousness. In the Old Testament, you shall not commit murder. As long as you do not actually kill physically, you are accepted by Moses as someone who did not commit that commandment. Inferior reigning of God's kingdom. Do you understand? Do not commit murder. And in the Old Testament, as long as you do not kill physically, then you are accepted as someone who did not commit that commandment. But that was Old Testament. But now the more perfect age has come. We are not saying that the will of God has been changed. No. But the level of demands of God changes as His new redemptive accomplishments are carried out. See, His redemptive history is now all accomplished. And His demands from His people are according to what He has accomplished. In the Old Testament, the law could not prosecute the sinful hearts of sinners. But in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Moses could not able to prosecute someone who hated his brother. But now Jesus talks about the higher standard of the new age. The obedience that is demanded in this new age is of the heart, not just faking outwardly. Now from verse 21 to the end of this chapter, Jesus, through six examples, or five, depends on how you see it, Jesus talks about the righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. He talks about the higher standard of the new age, the higher standard of the kingdom of God, heavenly kingdom. He shows us, once again, our heavenly reality. Who we are in heaven. That is what our Lord is doing. He is telling us who we are. What kind of people we are in heaven. What kind of people we really are in Jesus Christ. We are the people who love God, love our neighbors. You have heard that the ancients were told, or you have heard that it was said, then he says, but I say to you, this is the pattern of the six examples that you're going to see. He says, you have heard that the ancients were told, but I say to you, with the authority of God, Jesus tells us of our heavenly reality. Through the salvation that He has accomplished for us, now what kind of people did we become? What standards? What level? And that is what we are going to study for next few weeks. But here we must say a few things before we look at our passage in detail. Remember this. Here Jesus is not opposing Moses. He's not contradicting Moses. He is not opposing the Old Testament. If that were the case, then instead of saying, you have heard that the ancients were told, he probably would have said, it is written. Then he will tell us what is written. Then he will say, well, that was wrong. Because we already saw that pattern in chapter 4 when Jesus was tempted. When he wanted to bring out what was written in the Old Testament, he said, it was written. It is written. But that is not how he says it here. And remember what he said in verse 17. He said, do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And we already talked about what fulfilling really means. So, Jesus is not opposing the Old Testament. But, even though Jesus Christ is not opposing Moses, he is not just merely restating what Moses has said. He is not just rubber stamping Moses. He is not just confirming what Moses has said. He is doing much more than that. Of course, Jesus will say, Old Testament is Word of God. And some people say that what Jesus is doing here is this. Jesus is, in fact, according to these people, saying, you have misunderstood Moses. Let me tell you what Moses really said. Now, this is true. Jesus is doing that. Jews really did misunderstand the Old Testament. And Jesus is correcting those misunderstandings in our section. But remember, that is not all that he is doing. He's doing much more than that. Jesus is proclaiming that the new age has come. He is proclaiming the coming of the perfect kingdom. In his kingdom, in this kingdom, the king reigns over not just our actions, but over their hearts. The new and the better and the perfect kingdom has come in Jesus Christ. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. So remember these things as we go over this section. Verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Well, you know where this comes from. You shall not commit murder. This is one of the Ten Commandments. But before we look at that, what is the true meaning of murder? Well, Genesis chapter 9 verse 6 says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood will be shed. For in the image of God he made man. There, if you kill a man, you will be killed also by the law. But why? Because man was made in the image of God. Thus, when someone kills, whose image is he killing? He is killing God's image. And as he kills, he outright go against God's commandment to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. John chapter 8 verse 44 speaks of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. You see, brothers and sisters, to murder is to be like Satan. To murder, it is to witness the reality of hell. And remember, hating your brother is murdering him. And that's what hell is all about. Hating one another. Hating God forever and ever. And as you hate, as you kill, as you murder, you witness the reality of hell. You imitate Satan, who is murderer from the beginning. And that's what exactly Cain has done. Even from the very beginning, we see a son of Satan, Cain, imitating his father, Satan. He murders his brother. The command not to murder is a command to preserve and to protect life. And I don't want to take too much time, but before we go on, I would like to say a few things that are connected to this topic. Now, suicide is killing, murdering your own self. So it falls under this commandment. But it's not just suicide. If you take drugs, or like me, overeating and not exercising, is killing yourself slowly. Maybe we could call it slow suicide. How about abortion? It's also murder. Especially in Korean society, abortion is just so easy thing to do. But it's murdering a human being. Those embryos, those fetuses. Even Jesus Christ himself had to go through that state. Are you going to tell me that Jesus Christ, when he was conceived in Mary's womb, he went through embryo state? And you're going to tell me he was not human at that time? Even Jesus had to go through that state. Abortion is murder. But this concept of self-defense has to come in. Self-defense, because not to murder, put it in a positive form, is to preserve and to protect life. And sometimes you need to protect your life. So there's this self-defense, and the Bible allows that. It's not murder. You need to protect your life and the lives of the people who are around you. So sometimes abortion, there's abortion that has to happen just to save mother's life. They have to abort the baby. Now there, it's a little bit different, right? It's killing someone to save someone's life. Self-defense concept. How about capital punishment? Now I'm going through these really fast because it's just to talk a little bit about it. If you want more come to my office, we could talk about it more. Capital punishment, is that wrong? Well, in the Old Testament, God is the one who ordered capital punishment. You know, being stoned to death because you have sinned. God has given the government to us so that he could carry this equity, general equity, being fair. So do you remember Genesis 9? If you kill a man, then you will be also killed. It's general equity. And that's what the government has called to do by God. So if a person is properly prosecuted and found guilty, and his penalty is death, then we have nothing against that. Because God orders that too. You see that in the Bible. If capital punishment is sin, then God has sinned. Anyway, if you want to talk more about this kind of topic, but that is not what I want to talk about it today. Verse 22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, and there are many English words I could say here that says same thing, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Even from this verse, you see the arriving of the new age. It is not okay any longer just because you outwardly not carrying out what is in your heart. Do you remember everyone who hates his brother is a murderer? Hating a brother in your heart is murder according to God. That brother, as we have seen, has been created in the image of God. But that brother, because brother is Christian, is a part of Jesus Christ's, his own body. Can I maybe ask you this way? Can you hate the body of Christ? What would be your answer? Can you hate the body of Christ? But I'm talking about true brother. You know, I go to 1 Corinthians. I know this is a little bit off topic, but because I don't want you to misunderstand here. Yes, if he is a brother, he will what? He will sin. But he will also, what? Repent. And he will admit his sin. And he will do his best not to sin anymore. That's a brother. So you need to love that brother. You need to, you know, in the context of what we're talking about. But here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Paul says, I wrote to you, do not associate with immoral people. But he explains, verse 10, I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers and or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. See, when he says do not associate with immoral people, he doesn't mean, you know, people in general. Because if we do that, then we have to get out of the world. Because everybody is immoral. But what did he mean when he said, do not associate with immoral people? Verse 11. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. He who says he's a Christian, if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. If there is a guy who says he is a Christian, and flat out, visibly, live that immoral life, don't even eat with that person. That's God's command. And it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty because you are rejecting that person. See, we're not talking about that kind of thing in this our passage here. Because if that person is truly Christian, he will repent. And he will admit what he's doing is wrong. And he will try his best not to do it again. That kind of people you need to associate. But there are some people who call themselves Christian and do these flat out wrong things and they don't even feel guilty. They're so proud. Do not even eat with that person. See, that is not the context, okay? Don't misunderstand me when we talk about this here. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. We cannot hate the body of Christ. See, that person who says he's Christian and he flat out doing those things, what does church has to do when that kind of person exists in among us? We need to excommunicate that person, right? Because he's not repenting. That means what? He's not a brother. Understand that? But so many churches, they don't do excommunications anymore. They do not have any heart to follow what God says. Those kind of people should be excommunicated. But if he repents, then we forgive. Then he's truly brother, but he needs to repent. Anyway, just because there's a chance that, or I should not use the word chance, there's just in case you misunderstand what we're talking about here. Let's come back. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Hating a brother in your heart is murder according to God. Because he is a part of the body of Christ. Because it is not okay to hate the body of Christ. Now being angry is not sin in and of itself. Remember that. Because so many people, they're so into worldly morals, they think that being angry is always bad. We see God in the Bible. He gets angry. If being angry is sin, then you're saying God sins. There are times we must be angry. When God and His Word are compromised, we must be angry. I know you will be angry if I make fun of your father or your mother, or if I misrepresent your father or your mother, or if I misrepresent what your father has said or your mother has said, you will be angry at me. But what about your heavenly father? If someone misrepresents your heavenly father, you're not angry? If someone misrepresents what your Heavenly Father has said, you're not angry about that? That's pretty interesting. You get angry in case of your earthly father and mother because you love them. But what about your heavenly father? Do you love him? Or it doesn't matter? It just doesn't matter. Who cares? But remember, we are sinners. Thus, we must be careful. Because it is so easy to sin when we are angry. Thus, we need to be very, very careful. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. You'll be very surprised by this translation. Chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry. Are you surprised? Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Yes, those funny but very nasty jokes, those words that doesn't edify anybody. No unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Let's go back to chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember you that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. It is no longer okay just not killing someone physically. But it is also not okay just not hating someone in your heart. Just because you don't hate somebody in your heart, it's still not okay. You must actively seek to reconcile with your brothers. You cannot just say, oh, I don't hate him. That's not good enough. We're talking about kingdom standard. We're talking about standard of the new age. You must actively seek the reconciliation with your brother. The fulfillment of the law is love, and it is the reality of our eternal state. It is our heavenly reality, now and forever. Thus, we cannot not love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. remember, you might say, I never killed a man, killed a brother, and I don't hate anybody, but that is still not good enough. This new kingdom that Christ brings. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, where are we have come? Where have we come to worship? Where are we spiritually? We are in heaven. Now question is, can we hate our brothers in heaven? Do you think if we are really in heaven, you're going to sit there, you're going to, as you worship God in heaven, you're going to hate somebody who is standing next to you, who is worshiping God next to you? You think that is possible in heaven? And that should never be possible as we worship here together. See, we worship in heaven. And hating someone over there is really ridiculous. It does not fit with its reality. May it never be. This is why you must reconcile with your brother before you worship. We worship through Jesus Christ. We worship in Jesus Christ. We worship through and in His name. And what kind of attitude we must have is very, very clear. Verse 25, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Here, I just want to say, making reconciliation is an urgent matter. You must do it quickly. If there's any brother, when I say brother, of course sister too, if there's anything between you and that person who is a Christian, who worships together with you, you must take care of that. Quickly. And that is the point of these two verses. The reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Look at it. There is perfect harmony, perfect unity, perfect love. Perfect love between God and us, and perfect love among us. This is the reality of our eternal salvation. And when you and I, we must witness that reality, especially as we worship together. Colossians 1:20, and through Him, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Look at what Christ has accomplished. Ephesians 1:10, the final goal of God is expressed like this. The summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Perfect harmony, perfect love have been accomplished by our Lord for you and for me. And you and I, we must witness that reality. We must not do anything to deny that reality. Brothers and sisters, God has made us His family. We must forgive one another, for He has forgiven us. And we saw Him forgiving those who are crucifying Him. Do we hate in heaven? Do we murder in heaven? Why do we hate somebody? Let's think about this. Why do we hate somebody? Anyway. Well, I guess there's so many answers we could give, but because that person, through that person, because of that person, our ego has been hurt. Or because that person has rejected my good faith. Or because that person ignores me, rejected me. Because that person has paid no attention to my feelings. He has hurt my pride. That person has insulted me. That person has treated me unfairly. Go to Romans 12. I want you to read it yourself. Romans 12. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Brothers and sisters, so what if all those things has happened to you? That someone has rejected you. Someone has insulted you. Someone has hurt your pride. What are those things got to do with your eternal reality? What are those things have to got to do with who you are in Jesus Christ? So what if all reject us? So what if all insult us? Be happy. Jesus, our Lord, has been rejected, insulted. And you are called to be like Him. The first murder, remember Cain and Abel? God has received Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. Now all Cain had to do is offer the right sacrifice of God. All Cain had to do is just do right. But that was not what he did. he hated his brother. Look at what is happening. Cain, why does he hate his brother? All he had to do was do right, then everything will be okay. But no, he hates his brother. And he kills him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, remember how God receives and accepts you and your worship and your life in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, does God ever reject you? Does God ever insult you? Does God ever hurt your pride? Does God ever treat you unfairly? And is not that enough for us? For you and for me, Jesus Christ, who is the God of the universe, was rejected by his own. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges rightly. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And brothers and sisters, listen very carefully to this. Do not remain in your pain and hurt. Do not remain in your anger. You don't have to. Understand what kind of salvation has accomplished. Please do not remain in your pain and hurt. Jesus experienced all that pain and hurt for you so that you don't have to anymore. Do not be slaves to them. Do not let those things control you. It's okay. Let the whole world insult us. It's okay. Because it doesn't change anything about who I am in Christ. It is okay. Imitate Christ. Keep entrusting yourself to Him. He will judge. Remember the heavenly blessings you already possess in Christ. And let me end. Pass. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us end hate and murder in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, through our sins we have murdered our own Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think, as far as murdering someone is concerned, don't you think that is enough? We have killed our own God with our sins. And let us just stop it with that. That is enough murdering for you and for me. Remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, look at our worship. Eternal heavenly worship. What has been accomplished? Look around. What has been accomplished? God loves you, and in Him we love one another forever and ever. How can we hate our brother in this worship? How can we get angry? See how God Himself is receiving and accepting you. See the harmony, perfect harmony between God and you. And see the perfect harmony that Jesus Christ has accomplished among all of us. What kind of relationships do we enjoy in Jesus Christ as we worship together in heaven right now? Understand where we have come. Understand our eternal reality. Brothers and sisters, let us believe and witness that reality for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have made us Your people, one family of God. That our salvation is such that there's perfect love and perfect harmony between God and us and among all of us in Jesus Christ. Let us see and believe and witness what Your Son has accomplished already for us. Let us love. Love You. And love one another. So that we may be able to witness that in Jesus Christ and in us, the law has been fulfilled. Let us love. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.